Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. First time I really heard this song, or I guess paid attention to this song, was from a compilation album back in the 90s. And the guy that sang it, a guy named Michael English, who had a rise and a fall and a rise again, beautiful baritone voice. And we played this at our wedding. It was the song that we played during communion, during our wedding. But it's a powerful, powerful song. And it's a powerful message that God has for us. God is our refuge and our strength. He's an ever-present help in trouble. What's bothering you today? What's bothering you today? What troubles are at your doorstep? What kinds of things cause you distress? What causes you to lose sleep? What causes you to fear? COVID? The vaccine? Not getting the vaccine? Finances? Taxes? Insurrections? Political turmoil? Riots? Mean people? Waking up? What causes you fear, struggle, anxiety? It's really easy for us to fall into the trap of fear. In our flesh, we can be genuinely afraid. There are things that come at us. There are things that come against us. Struggles, troubles. Back when we were in 1 Peter, we talked about some of those struggles, those trials that would come at us. There were persecutions. People would come at us and persecute us just because we're Christians, right? They don't like God. They don't like Jesus. They don't like Christianity. So you know what? They just don't like you. So we deal with persecutions. We deal with people, just relationships, people coming after us, people wanting to tempt us, people wanting to make our lives difficult, people who are just plain grouchy and grumpy. We deal with those struggles. We deal with troubles in life, finances, sickness, death, jobs. Things that are just part of everyday life. And then on top of all of that, 1 Peter would tell us, the devil is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Cut me a break. fear. In the Hebrew, it's the word yare. It appears 188 times in the Old Testament. You think it's a subject? 188 times, 5 times, Joshua is told by the Lord, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Joshua, don't be afraid. 3 of those times he's told, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Now, why would God tell Joshua, don't be discouraged? Why would he say over and over again, Joshua, don't be discouraged? Joshua never comes back and says, I'm not. Come on, Lord, stop. I'm not. I'm fine. He tells him because God knows better, and he knows that Joshua is discouraged. He knows that he's afraid. Oh, by the way, Joshua, here is about 2.5 million people. Go ahead and lead them for me. Feeling a little insignificant. So if God's mighty men get scared, is it any wonder that we get scared? But God has a better plan for us. That's why I love this passage. Psalm 46, 1 through 4. God is our refuge. God is our refuge. Refuge is shelter, but it also can mean our hope. He is our trust. In this verse, it is literally speaking of an individual, the refuge being an individual. It means the person to whom one flees. God is our person to whom we flee. I remember as a little kid, my brother was 4 years old. Well, he's still 4 years older than me, but I had an older brother. He was 4 years old. He is 4 years older than me. And he was a little grumpy. When we were little kids, and he was big enough to, you know, suck on me and punch on me and make my life just miserable enough to keep me a little nervous, a little scared most of the time. And we would have this moment where if we were like in the living room area and he'd say something and I'd say something back, and there'd be a pause, and I knew I just said the wrong thing. And we'd like lock eyes, and then I'd run, right, poof, run like fast as I could. He's bigger than me, but if I was really smart, I could go down the hall, and I could turn right, or left, right, because my mom was always gonna be in the bedroom, right? So if I could like dodge, mom, and I would be okay. Unless my mom wasn't there. And then I was punched, usually, right? But my mom was the one to whom I would flee. And it was like I was in fear and I was running, and all I wanted was to go to the person to whom I can flee. God is the one to whom we flee. God is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our might. God is our might. In 1 Peter 4:11. I've been spending a little time in 1 Peter again lately, which is, you're going to get some 1 Peter references as we've been enjoying that. But 1 Peter 4:11, he calls us to serve with the strength that God provides. When we serve at church, when we serve others, when we engage with others, we do it with the strength that God provides. When we serve, when we act, when we love, we do so in God's strength, not in our own strength. It's with the strength that God provides. God is our strength. God is our might. What happens when we do it on our own steam? What happens when we serve and love and reach out on our own steam? We get burnt out. We get stressed out. We get frustrated that doesn't anyone see all this good stuff I'm doing? It was shared before when we started, we're planning this church. Someone shared with us, make sure that you serve out of your overflow, not your lifeblood. Serve out of your overflow. That means there is a fountain, there is a waterfall, there is a blessing that comes down. God's flowing down and it pours into me. And as it pours into me and out of me, I can serve with that. And it comes in abundance because it doesn't come from me. But when I serve with my lifeblood, I've only got so much blood to give. And as I run dry, as I remove myself from God's fountain and I begin to pour out my own blood, I lose my ability to serve and I get angry, I get frustrated, and people leave the ministry over such things because they are no longer being filled. But God is our strength. God is our might. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. The word is hesitate. It means to be so afraid as to not do anything. It's like in the movies, right? When something tragic is happening and there's the big wave is coming or the big monster is coming and there is people scattering this way, people scattering this way. There's someone with their head on tight and they're going, everybody this way. And there's always one knucklehead going, ah! And they stand there and they scream. That's what he's talking about. I will not fear. I don't need to be afraid. I don't need to be seized up. I will not fear, even though the earth give way. You think I'm making a joke about like the wave coming and the whatever, right? He says, even if the world was falling down, literally, though the earth give way, and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, right? This picture of surging, and the mountains quake with their surging. Even if it's the end of the world, though the earth give way, literally the word means even though the earth perished. Peter tells us about this very event in 2 Peter chapter 3. We talked about this a few months ago, and Cooper got a little spooked. Because we're talking about the end of the world, and he got up. So I'm glad he's not here this morning. I don't want to traumatize him again. But he went running inside as we were. It's good to know that the little kids are listening, though. You know what I mean? But I was sharing this passage, chapter 2 Peter chapter 3. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. The elements, when I talked about the elements, that's literally where we get the term for the elements on the periodic table. And since everything will be destroyed in this way, he says, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. I love the phrasing there in the Greek. It literally means, and the elements will, it says melt. It literally means they will be let go. What happens in a nuclear explosion? It is literally simply the separation of an atom. Of the atoms that are there, that separation. And when there is that simple letting go, there's a massive explosion. Peter evidently understood nuclear physics. The elements will melt, will be let go in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. What are we looking forward to? A new heaven and a new earth. And if we're looking forward, if we're looking forward, we will not be threatened by the things of this earth. When we're looking forward, we will not be threatened by the things of this earth. In fact, we are assured that they will be burned up. Tell that to the collector on the phone. Hey man, it's all right. It's all going to be burned up anyways. This not only speaks of hope, looking forward to it, but he says, we speed its coming. Have you considered this? So many of us are so worried about, so concerned with having everything just right now. Right? We want to keep the kingdom going. This is God's country. We do want God in this world. We do want people to engage in morality, but morality through holiness, morality through a changed heart, morality through salvation, not morality for the sake of morality. Otherwise, all we're doing is putting on a show. Otherwise, all we're doing is we're trying to just make this world better. But this world's going to burn. This world's going to go. So not only do we look forward to the next world, he says that we speed its coming. When we share our faith, when we live out our lives in faith, then the more the world rebels against that. Because here's the deal. The more people engage in their faith, the more people live out their lives in faith, the more that the world is going to rebel against it. And they're going to fight against it. And then it's all going to come that much quicker. We will actually speed its coming. The more that we draw into Christ, guess what? There is a completion of the number. God knows who the last one is. And the quicker that person gets saved, the quicker we get to go home. We can speed its coming. Instead of trying to maintain heaven on earth, it's all wasted energy. It's why we remain heavenly minded, not earthly minded. And Mark Twain, who was quoted as saying, problem with some Christians is that they're so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. I would counter that with the most heavenly minded Christian is the one who is the most earthly good. The one who is too earthly minded is the one who all they see is everything here, and they don't see things as God sees them. We are called, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts and minds on things above. Matthew Henry, the 17th century Bible scholar, 17th century, right? Picture the nice frou-frou clothes, right? And the little ruffles. And he had a big wig and probably knickers and big buckles on his shoes, which I can really actually respect the buckles. But man was smart as all get out. He said, how well grounded the defiance of this danger is. How well grounded the defiance of this danger is. What danger? Therefore, I will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. I will not fear. That's defiance. The world's falling down. The world is crumbling. And we say, I will not fear. God is my refuge. God is my strength. And he says, how well grounded the defiance of this danger is, considering how well guarded the church is. 1 Peter chapter 1, we are told that he is our shield. He says, considering how well guarded the church is and that interest which we are concerned for. It is not any private particular concern of our own that we are in pain about. No. It's about the city of God. We are concerned about the city of God. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. It is the ark of God for which our hearts tremble. But when we consider what God has provided for the comfort and the safety of his church, we shall see reason to have our hearts fixed and set above the fear of evil tidings. How well grounded the defiance of this anger is. Of this danger is. I don't need to be afraid. My heart is set on the city of God. My heart is set where his holy dwelling place is, where his ark is, his heavenly holy ark is. We are fixed. We are longing for it. We have hope for it. We actually want to speed its coming. Our hope, our confidence in eternal life, our trust that God is our shelter, our refuge. It removes the fear that we face no matter what comes our way. Even the very destruction of the world, we will not fear. It says in verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Make glad. Literally, it means to rejoice. There is a river whose streams rejoice in the city of God. While this talk about water, the roaring oceans, and the foaming sea, the psalmist says, in spite of all the strength of the sea and the waters and the waves and the surgings, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Unlike Thebes in Egypt, Damascus in Syria, Nineveh or Babylon, Jerusalem had no river. Rivers were good for protection. An army would have to ford the river. They would have to cross the river to come in and attack. They were good. It was good for water, to bring water in for the people. A good wide river could bring trade right up to the city. Jerusalem had no river. But Jerusalem had a spiritual river. It was the holy place where the Most High dwells, Jerusalem was. And the psalmist referred to the continual outpouring of the sustaining and refreshing blessings of God, which makes this city of God thrive. They saw this holy river, this blessing, this outpouring as their provision and their protection against foes. We don't have a river for our city. Oh, we do. We have a river of blessing from the Lord. We don't have protection by a river for our city. Oh, we do. We have a river that flows from God. They saw it as their protection. But Jesus gives more insight. 1,000 years later, he gives more insight into the river and its streams. If you go to John chapter 7, beginning in verse 37, Jesus said, Well, John writes, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, come, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in Jesus were later to receive. If anyone is thirsty, come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And he was referring to the Spirit, the river, the living water. Revelation 22:1 talks about the river of the water of life that comes from the city of God. The river, the living water, is the Holy Spirit. The blessings that pour out. In the midst of our trouble, our struggle, our thirst, we find ourselves filled to overflow and flowing outward. And Jesus says, if we believe in him, then streams of living water will flow from within us. So when the psalmist says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, who are the streams? The streams are you. And the streams are me. There is a river, the Holy Spirit, flowing out of the city of God, the place that God dwells. He's talking about, look, if this world falls, it's okay. We don't need to worry about all of the things of this earth, because there is a place that God dwells, and we're going to speed its coming. And when the earth falls, when the earth dies, there is a new heaven and a new earth, and we get to go be with him. And there's a beauty in that. And the Holy Spirit comes, and it transcends then into now. And he fills us up now. And in our lives now, we overflow and we become streams of living water. There is a river whose streams rejoice in the city of God. As the streams of living water flow from us, the Spirit moves in us and fills us. We touch the lives of others. We are the streams. We find ourselves not only able, but inclined to praise God, even in the midst of trouble. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our help in trouble. And his Spirit will fill us and pour out from us, so there is no need to fear. Therefore, we will not fear, even when the world falls down. In fact, let it fall. Take me to the river, the true river, to the dwelling place of the Most High God. But my trouble is real. This sounds all nice and spiritual, thanks. But my troubles are real. My troubles are happening now. What about, you know, real life? I'm saved. I have hope. I know it's coming. But what about my trials now? 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us that by faith we are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. We are shielded by God's power. That word for shielded, it's a military term, and it talks about a military movement of troops to guard a city in the event of an attack or an invasion. We are shielded. We're shielded from invasion. It's very interesting as you consider he is our shield. He is there to shield us from invasion. The enemy, the devil, the adversary who prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He is on the invasion. So we have this, someone there to protect us from invasion, and we have someone who is there to invade. He says we are shielded. So where do my problems come from? Where are my struggles coming from? Sometimes we see these stories where someone is on the inside and they wreak havoc from the inside. There's protection, but someone sneaks in and infiltrates quietly, secretly. Do you know who that person is? You. We are the one person who can allow the infiltration into our lives. There is an invader. There is a protection from invasion. And yet sometimes we, in spite of the protection, it's like we go to the back door and we just unlock it and open the door. We allow the enemy in. But you are shielded because you are saved. And that's why, remember 1 Peter, that we praise God because we are saved. We praise God, our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble, our shield. And we will have no cause to fear. And when circumstances then come against you, the shield is there. The invading force is there. The various kinds of trials that we discuss are there to come against me. But Peter says, troubles like noise pollution. Go get him. When those circumstances come against you, know that your trials come so that your faith might be proved genuine. God is at work in your life, building your faith, cementing your trust, maturing your spirit. When people come against you and harass you and abuse you and persecute you, return a blessing for a curse. When we have hope in eternal life, not an I hope, but a true and genuine conviction that their salvation brings eternal life, a confidence in the things to come. We can know that we know that we know that God will make all things right. We can trust, as Jesus did, in a God who judges justly. When we let Him be the judge, when we allow Him to be the avenger for sin, we don't need to waste another minute worried over justice for ourselves. And as a just judge, He will do it to the exact measure that is necessary. God is a righteous judge, and He will rightly deal with it. And He will deal with it. He might deal with it now. He might deal with it then. But He will deal with it. He's got it. And through all the growth and the maturing, the trust, when you struggle, when fears come, we can come back to this passage and be reminded of God's grace, His might, and His faithfulness to you personally, to you individually. It's interesting. We share these things. We read His word. And it is truth. And it's always that part of getting it from here all the way down to here. And for some of us, it's not hard to do. And for some of us, It's really hard to do. And it's not a character issue. It's not it's not even a necessarily like a faith issue. We're just built differently. There are optimists. Raise your hands, optimists, because you like raising your hands. And there are pessimists. What's the point of raising my hand? I'd raise my hand, but why? It's not going to do any good. And there's those of us who are just made that way. And I get that. Now, as you guys know, I can't smell. I'm anosmic. Try as I might, I could really, really work at it, but it's not going to do anything. The nose doesn't work. And it's not COVID, or I've had it for 50 years. I just don't smell. And all you people who've got COVID and have lost your sense of smell, how's it feel? It sucks. It's a bummer. And I hope you get it back. And I can't wait to get mine someday. But try as I might, I can't do anything about it. Because it's my nature. It's who I am. I cannot smell. And no, it doesn't mean I like cleaning up after the dogs. It's still gross. But there are those of us who struggle with this, and we naturally struggle with this. Some of us are naturally melancholy. We have character traits and we call them all out for a reason, because they're there. And some of us are like, you know, happy-go-lucky all the time. And some of us are just mellow or melancholy or have a harder time with these things. And that's okay. But the word of God doesn't change. And the truth of what he says doesn't change. And I believe that our role, our goal is to understand through who we are, how I can not fear. Oh, you're just an optimist. You just keep that up, big boy. Or, how do I, as a pessimist, I'm not a pessimist, I'm a realist. How do you, as a realist, not fear and embrace that God is your refuge? When you can't control the emotions, when the fear rises up, drop down to verse 10. And God inserts his own voice into the narrative. He says, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." I always find the "I wills" interesting. Because sometimes it just seems like forward thinking. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That is not what God is saying. He says, "I will be. I shall be. It will be the thing. It will happen. If I am not exalted, I will be exalted." Much like one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, well, I'm not going to do it. Oh, guess what? Yes, you will. Well, I'm not going to bow my knee. When your knees give way, you will find yourself bowing. We will bow. All bow to the Lord, and every nation will exalt him, and he will be exalted in the earth. So he says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know that I am God. Be still. It's the Hebrew rapha. And it means to leave off your own attempts. I love that. Be still. Leave off your own attempts. Stop doing what you are doing. You stop working the problem by your own efforts. And know in your mind, you know emphatically, personally, intimately, intuitively, that He is God. I heard a story about Mother Teresa. She was being interviewed about prayer. She was being asked about her prayer life, and the woman interviewing her said, "So, what do you do when you pray?" And she said, "Well, mainly I just listen." "Oh," the interviewer said. "Well, then, when you're sitting there and listening, what do you hear?" She said, "Well, you know, not much. Because when I pray, God just listens too." And then she said, "And if you don't understand it, I can't explain it to you." Be still. It is that stillness. It is approaching God and just listening. Seeking His face and being willing to hear. He is powerful. He is our refuge. He is might. He's our Father. He's gracious. He loves. He will be exalted, not just by you, but get this, not just by you, but because of you. He will be exalted, not just by you, but because of you, by your faith, by your trust, by your repentance, your initial repentance, or when you choose to repent yet again. By your humility, by your forgiveness for others, He will be exalted because of you. So be still. Set aside your efforts. Stop working the problem by your own efforts. Approach the throne of grace with confidence. Seek His face. He is your refuge. He is your strength, your ever-present help in trouble. He is our confidence. He is our trust. He is our hope. He is our shield. And let His Holy Spirit cause streams of living water to fill you and flow through you. Let us be the streams. We are the streams that make glad the city of God. And then we lay our fears at His feet. Amen. Heavenly Father, take me to the river. Take me to the river, Lord. You are our refuge. You are our strength. You are the one that we run to, and we long to run to You. Lord, so many things come our way, so many things in this life, and we are thankful that we have You, and we are thankful, Lord, that You choose to do the difficult things in our life to mature us, to grow us. We thank You for those things that are just too much, that You are our shield. Lord, we thank you that this life is not everything. That at the end of the day, if the world were to fall apart, literally, that you already have a plan, a new heaven and a new earth, and that there is a river that flows from the city of God, a river of the water of life. Lord, you've laid it out for us. We praise you for the love and the hope that you give to us. Father, help us to not fear. Check our personality types, Lord, as we try and figure out why I do what I do, why I fear like I fear, why I worry like I worry. And Lord, teach us, help us to grow. That in spite of what I am and who I am, that I can trust and not be afraid. So Father, we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.